All right, we're talking to T.J. Griffin, who was on WTMA. Exactly what years were you on the radio station?
1980 and, I think maybe 1980 is about it.
Now, was WTMA a top 40 station at that time?
That's kind of funny because we never were really sure what we were. It changed formats very shortly after I left the radio station and went across the hall to 95SX.
So what did it change formats to?
Who really knows, because at the time, it wasn't really anything. It was like an AC station. It was some sort of hybrid of an adult contemporary station,
mm-hmm.
I believe. By the time I had gotten to WTMA, it had obviously seen its much better days. And people who were legendary in the business had already gone through the doors there. The station itself had been humongous and was now crashing down on the days where, you know, it was just as FM was taking over. And as I remember, WCSC, they were still the big dog in town, but WKTM was the battling it out with CSC. And TMA was really lost in the shuffle.
So somehow TMA had lost their focus, and the problem was that people weren't listening to AM radio anymore as much as they used to. They discovered FM.
Yeah, that had pretty much happened nationwide, and it was sweeping into the South at a pretty quick rate at about that time. Just before I'd worked at WTMA, I'd worked at a radio station in Memphis that was another legendary top 40 radio station, and the same thing had been happening in Memphis and Atlanta and you name it, Birmingham, all over the South, and everywhere else. Matter of fact, FM was sweeping in and taking the place of AM radio, especially for top 40 radio. And that's about the time that management had made decisions, something along the lines of, well, we'll go for an adult audience. And it was just a nightmare. It was awful. It was terribly done radio. It didn't really matter at that point if we were going for, you know, left-handed midgets east of the Mississippi or not. We weren't going to get them.
As I recall, the adult contemporary format was not that big at that time. It didn't really take off until the mid-80s. I suppose WTMA at the time was doing something fairly unique to the Charleston market. Nobody else was doing it on FM until 96 Wave signed on the air back in 1985, and then WXTC flipped from beautiful music format, elevator music, to what they call adult contemporary. I think they called it light rock and less talk.
Mm-hmm. And weren't you at that radio station?
Yes, I was.
Okay, and that was probably the first real adult contemporary radio station in Charleston, I would bet. That would kind of be my guess. Yes?
Well, certainly the first FM, although Wave was on, either they came on right before WXTC or right after it. It was about the same time when the station came on with the Wave sound effects and all that other kind of stuff.
Gotcha, yeah.
Were you here at that time?
No, I left Charleston in 1982, or the very beginning of 83.
So you were at the station in Memphis. Why did you come to WTMA?
Radios, as you know, is... I mean, it's like we're all gypsies. The joke is there are 300 of us, and we just trade business cards once every few years. And at that time, there was a fella that I'd worked with in Memphis who was coming to WTMA, and they wanted to make a big splash at WTMA. In Memphis, I was an evening disc jockey, and I wanted to move up a little bit and into closer to management-type stuff, you know. And there was that opportunity at WTMA. And WTMA, it looked like the company that owned it at the time was going to make a pretty serious commitment to WTMA.
Skonix Broadcasting.
Skonix Broadcasting, exactly, which, you know, turned into a great company over the years. And they did a really good job. I mean, they did an excellent job of making money and growing a really good company over the years. But WTMA was just, I don't know, it was kind of in the same, I don't know, boat that so many other great, legendary top 40 radio stations had been in. It had just seen its day as top 40 station, and music wasn't being played on AM stations with any, you know, degree of success at all. And that had all moved to FM by that time. And then, of course, when we put 95SX on the air, that changed the Charleston radioscape completely more dramatically than everything else. And at one point, 95SX was supposed to be a quote-unquote top 40 station. So it was going to be the WTMA on FM, but it never really went that direction.
Actually, yeah, it used to be WTMA FM at one time, and then it was WPXI.
Right.
Playing rhythm and blues and soul music.
And they were number one.
Yeah, did great. Did great.
It was a great radio station. Now, when I was at WTMA initially, Tony, can't remember Tony's last name, was the program director at WPXI, and I listened to that radio station more than I listened to any radio station in town. It was a great station. And I was the production director at that radio station, too, for, you know, a brief scant, 8 months? Something like that. And then it changed to 95SX.
So tell me about some of the other people that you worked with at WTMA before you made the move to 95SX.
Dan Stevens is one that I remember. I just always thought the world of Dan. He was just a very nice, decent guy, you know. Steve Overton, who some may remember as a news sports guy, who later went to Channel 2 and I think did really well there. I left Charleston then and went to Minneapolis, so I don't really remember what happened to Steve from there. One of the funniest guys that I ever knew. A guy named Rick Tracy. Rick was doing the afternoon show when I got there, and I think Rick left there and went to Florida.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's right, to an album rock station in Jacksonville. There was a guy there who's an engineer. Dave Coder was one of the best engineers I ever worked with, and Dave was a guy from the New England state. And it's really funny because Dave left WTMA and 95SX and went to work for, I forget who, but he was based in Kwajalein Island. And in Kwajalein Island, he couldn't take anything with him from Charleston. So he ended up giving away all of his furniture and stuff. And to this very day, there are some pots and pans that Dave gave us. You know, it's like, I can't use these. Do you guys want them? And we were like, yeah, they're really good. We'll hang on to them until you get back and blah, blah, blah. And, of course, that's 24 years ago now. So if Dave's listening, we've still got your stuff, Dave. Craig Erickson was there after I was there, but I remember Craig. He was a real good guy. He did the morning show for a number of years. I'm not sure how many, and he was the program director. Another guy who I really liked and thought was maybe the best disc jockey that ever rolled through WTMA as far as like your basic, you know, format, glue of the station type disc jockey was Ken Moore. And Ken was there after I was there, or he and I were there at the same time for a very brief while, and then I went across the hall. And I'm trying to think, Michael Green, who did All Nights, and he just used the name Michael. Paul Mayer, Paul the Morning Mayer, who got out of radio for a long time after WTMA. Judy Paparelli was another name that I remember. There was somebody from Pittsburgh. Chris, I forget her last name, but man, she was really nice. Brad Harris was a news guy at WTMA, and he did the morning news with Mayer during that brief stint. And Brad and I had worked together in Memphis. And one day, Brad convinced me on this really rainy, windy, howling day that we really needed to go down to the Battery so we could really do a good report. You might be able to imagine that it was my first introduction to a wall of water crashing in over the Battery. It scared me to death. And at that point, I decided that I think it was Orange Grove Road was a perfect place for me to be.
Now, do you remember anything in particular about the Orange Grove Road studios?
Oh, God, it was a pit. It was really a pretty horrible place when we first moved there. WTMA's studios were in the very back of the building, and the heat didn't really work. Or it kind of worked, and then it wouldn't work. And so, you know, you would get pneumonia like 15 times during the winter, and it was pretty awful. And then the thing that I remember the most about the place, though, was there was a side door that we would go in. We would walk past the tower and go into the side door. And I was always scared to death that there was going to be this really big, huge snake that was going to, you know, eat me alive. And I'm terrified of snakes. And there were raccoons everywhere around the place. And it was just, I mean, you know, it was no place to be at night. It was, you know, the legend of Woolly Swamp was always what reminded me of WTMA, because that's what that place on Orange Grove Road was like. But, you know, honest to goodness, some of the best memories of my life are from that rat hole, so I can't complain too much.
So you went to 95SX, where you were for a while, and then you went up to Minneapolis, and then what happened after that?
Went to Minneapolis, and I was doing in Minneapolis essentially what I was doing at 95SX, and just did it in a little bit bigger place. I'd gone to Minneapolis to work with a guy who was going to put another top 40 station on, WCCO-FM call letters, which that station did okay, but we changed that one to, I think it was the second station in America that was a light rock station. I think there was one in Phoenix before us, but we were either the first or the second light rock station, and it was only by a matter of like hours. It was a race to see who was first. I left that station and went to Corpus Christi, Texas to do Top 40 again and to be the program director at that station and operations manager, and stayed there very briefly. The joke is that I stopped in Corpus Christi long enough to have a cup of coffee and then went to the Rio Grande Valley of South Texas in Brownsville and McAllen. And I was the operations manager of a light rock station there for 5 years. And then left there and went to Richmond, Virginia, where I I live now, and I was the program director. I put a country station on the air in Richmond and stayed there for 5 years and left there and went to Charlotte, North Carolina, and was the operations manager of another country station, WSOC-FM, in Charlotte for a full year and decided that I'd had enough of radio, and we had never sold our house in Richmond. Didn't, you know, kind of quit trying after about a month, and I had decided about a month after I got to Charlotte that I was done with radio. And my contract was up in Charlotte at the end of 1993, and I've been out of radio since January 1st, 1994.
So what was the thing that kind of put the icing on the cake there at Charlotte?
It wasn't so much Charlotte as it was, although I do give Charlotte credit for it, it just the times had started changing so much, and it was the beginning of the serious deregulation of radio, so that Wall Street owned radio stations, and it became harder and harder for the person doing what I was doing to be able to do their job. And at that point, I was the operations manager and program director of radio stations, and at that point, it had gotten to be a thing that was done by committee, and I just didn't really enjoy the corporate, you know, let's everybody second guess everybody else sort of thing, and I decided I'd had enough. And I'd also gotten tired of trading in my friends in each town whenever there was a new general manager or whenever I needed to go somewhere else to move up and all that stuff. It's sort of like, no, this is stupid. I'm tired of doing this. Plus, I'm, you know, getting old. I was 35.
Wow.
Yeah, I wish I was that young again. But that's really what did it. It was the beginning of the deregulation that just really, I just gotten to the point where I couldn't really stand that anymore. And we'd sit on conference calls, and we'd trade budgets from one radio station to the other. And it was just a disheartening thing. I saw some things coming that were the precursor to what exists today, and I don't see how you guys do it today. It seems like it's pretty tough business now that doesn't really seem like it would be my cup of tea.
Do you ever wish that you were back on the radio?
You know, it's funny. I don't really wish to be back on the radio because I never really missed getting off of the radio. What I loved were, you know, the nutcases like you and John Ashton and Bo Daniels. And that's the thing about the business, people that have the perspective that you can do good show business and do exciting promotion, do things that sometimes make a difference, you know, in addition to doing promotions that do nothing more than just excite people and are fun. It's that atmosphere that I miss more than anything else. Do I miss being on the radio? I guess if I wanted to, I could probably go to just about any radio station in America and do weekends if I really wanted to do a couple of air shifts, you know. So that's not really what I miss. What I miss is the people. WTMA was a tremendous radio station at one point in the Top 40 era. And the radio stations in the Top 40 era are the stations that, for whatever reason, are going to leave a long trail into the history books. The great thing is that many of those stations have figured out what to do with the second part of their lives. And I was so glad to hear that WTMA had become a great news talk station, because that radio station is just so much a part of the fabric of Charleston, South Carolina, that it would just be a shame if it faded away. What would Charleston be without WTMA? It just would not make any sense. There would be some kind of, you know, as much of a historical city as Charleston is, and, you know, I live in Richmond, Virginia, so it's like I know a little something about history and historic cities, and from having lived in Charleston for a few years, Charleston values history so much, and to see one of the most important radio stations, in, especially in the southeastern United States, just go away would have just been a nightmare. It would have just been so wrong. And now that it's a strong, vibrant radio station, I'm just so glad.